Well, please have your Bibles open at James chapter 3. I'm sure we've all heard the rhyme. Sticks and stones may, but words. Is there anyone here who actually believes that?
No, we all know, don't we, that it's one of those great lies that are told to children when they're in school. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. That's complete rubbish, isn't it? Because we all know that words can do far greater damage than a stick or a stone. Now, sticks and stones, yes, they can hurt us, but physically we heal. But the psychological wounds that can come through words, well, things can be said in the playground, which people carry right the way through to the grave. Words can really seriously hurt us. And there's such a contradiction, because with our words, we praise God. With our words, you know, we can build other people up, we can encourage them. And then just with one word spoken in the spur of the moment, then people can just be cut straight down. And we know from different parts of Scripture that what comes out of our mouths, our words, reveals the state of our hearts and what's going on inside us. We see this in Luke 6:45, that our words reveal where we are with the Lord. Our words reveal our spiritual state. So words are powerful things. I'm sure all of you know situations where just a few words have sparked family feuds that go on for years. A few words have meant it's the end of your employment. A few words have caused all sorts of problems which go on for years and years and years. Or even worse, when the words that you use have been misunderstood by the other person and they go on to cause all sorts of problems. And the person who said those words can't even understand how they've ended up where they are now. Words are powerful, powerful things. And sometimes, we all know, don't we, that when we're put under pressure, words come out of our mouth that are a complete surprise to us. I'm sure that some of us who have been Christians for many, many years can be a little bit surprised what comes out of our mouth when we hit our thumb with a hammer or something like that. You know, when put under pressure, suddenly something can just bubble up and come out and we've got no idea where it is. Words, they reveal the state of our heart, and they also remind us that that sin is still there within us. The Apostle Paul, he talks about sin as being that sort of old man that is still there. And sometimes, you know, things come up and they come back to haunt us. Sin is still there within us, and we're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be sorted out until we see Jesus. And as none of us have got to that point yet, it means that there's still plenty of work for each one of us here this morning. So for James, it's clear that he's writing to people who have got a real problem with their words. So far in this little letter, he's been teaching them about how faith and deeds need to go together in the Christian life. And he's taught them the importance of living good, upright, moral lives. How if you're a Christian, you've got to be living a good moral life. Now, to say that you're a Christian and to lead an immoral life, a life that is in every way against God's word, just doesn't work. And then he's gone on to show about how Christians, they've really got to put their money where their mouth is as well. We shouldn't give special treatment to people because they're rich and abuse other people because they're poor. We should have the right view towards money and its uses and how it can be a gift for God that's used for good, and how it's something that we should never, ever judge people on about how much money that they've actually got. So he's been teaching them about these things. And now he starts talking about another area, which is clearly a problem for the church back then. And it's a problem for us today as well. Talking about how our words and the things that we say should be in line with the faith that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And while this is true for all Christians, It is especially true for those who are called to lead and teach. And he starts off in this passage by talking to people who are leading and teaching. And it may be that in the church that he's writing to, there seems to be lots and lots of people who want to lead and want to teach. And he's saying to them, be careful, because those people who have got the responsibility of teaching God's word, well, those people are the ones who are going to be scrutinized by the Lord a lot more when they stand in front of him. It's possible that the situation in that church is that there's a group of people and they're mostly quite poor people, and people always want to improve themselves. Now, back in those days, social mobility was virtually unheard of. You stayed where you were born. But within the church, there was the opportunity for advancement, so that some people may have been thinking, yeah, I'll become a teacher and then I'll really make something of my life. And he's saying to them, whoa, be careful, because those who are called, those who are teach, they're the ones who have got to put into practice the things that they are teaching. And they're the people who need to have real control over the words that they say. Because if you're in front of a group of people teaching God's word, then your words are dealing with eternal matters. And it's very easy to say something which is wrong. This is why it's so important that people who are teaching and leading in the church, they have some sort of call from the Lord on their lives. Because if you're called from the Lord, you're equipped by the Lord to do these things. And without that calling from the Lord, then you're there in your own strength. And who wants to be doing something like this in their own strength? We need to have that equipping from the Lord in order to do this, because those who teach, those who lead, are going to be called to a greater account. Because Scripture clearly says that each and every Christian will one day appear before the Lord's judgment seat. And while none of us are going to lose our salvation, that's what a lot of Christians believe, what we see there is the way that we've lived our lives is going to be examined. I call it audit day. And on audit day, the Lord will look at our lives to see if we've been faithful to our calling, to see if we've cooperated with the Holy Spirit and followed his prompting, to see if our lives are filled with the fruit of the Spirit, and to see if the gifts that the Lord has given us have been used for his glory. So that means it's different for each one of us. And those who have been called to teach God's word, they're the ones who have been given the greatest responsibility, so they get the biggest grilling. So for those of us who do teach, we need to be very careful that our lives match what we teach, and the words that we say match the things that are there written here in God's word. But at the same time, we need to remember that none of us are perfect. We're only perfect when we see the Lord Jesus face to face. And that means that people do genuinely make mistakes. Does anyone here feel that they have complete control over their tongues? No. No, there's a few people responded. A few people are keeping quiet. See, that's good control. That is. But yeah, none of us do. And when put under pressure, then even the very best of Christians can, say something, or, something can come out which they don't intend whatsoever at all. So this message here, it doesn't matter if you've been a Christian for 5 minutes or 5 decades. There's something here for us to pay attention to and really understand. Because our tongues, they're incredible things, aren't they? They're just a tiny thing. It's just a little muscle. That's all it is. And yet, with it, it can determine the entire course of our lives. We can say the right thing at the right time in a way that builds people up and is to God's glory. Or we can say the wrong thing at the wrong time in the wrong way and find ourselves in all sort of a terrible pickle. They're incredible things, our tongues. And they have such an influence upon the direction of our lives. James here, he talks about how something little can control something large, which is why he talks about the rudder of a ship. And the rudder of a ship, it's just a tiny thing compared to the vast body of the boat. A Especially nowadays when you think about some of the enormous ships that we have. And yet they're just guided, directed by a small rudder. And with a horse as well. You know, controlling a horse with a little bit in your mouth. You know, it's bad enough taking your dog for a walk, isn't it, sometimes? You have a little dog that's pulling you along. But think what a horse is like. A great, big, powerful animal. And yet, controlled just by a bit in the mouth, just by a little thing. Our tongues are able to have an incredible influence upon our whole bodies for good or for evil. And the tongue is that reflection of the heart. It's just like the label that you get on the outside of a can of that you buy from the supermarket. You know, whether it's baked beans or rice pudding. You know what's there on the inside by the label. And our tongues are just like that. What comes out of our mouth reveals what's on the inside of us. Incredibly powerful things. And we all know to our cost, don't we? What happens when we say the wrong thing at the wrong time in the wrong way causes all sorts of problems. Just like someone throwing a cigarette out of a window on a moor after a dry summer, and you end up with an enormous fire that can burn on for years and years. So James, he talks about how the tongue is a small thing with great influence. And now he starts to talk about how it is uncontrollable. And he contrasts it with large and dangerous animals. And it's incredible, isn't it? When we think about some of the animals that have been domesticated today. You go to the right part of the world and you can go for an elephant ride. You know, you can go to some places and you can see whales and dolphins doing displays. There's all sorts of animals which have been controlled by humans. But we can't control the tongue. We can't control it at all. And it's a terrible thing, because when we can't control our tongues, what we do is we hurt other people and we hurt ourselves as well. But more importantly, we offend God as well. One of the key things we learn in Scripture is what God is like. And one of the things that we learn about God time and time again is that he is holy. And that holiness, there's separation there, but at the same time, there's purity as well. And when we gather together to sing his praises, you know, we're worshipping him, we're giving thanks to him because of who he is. And that's coming out of our mouths, through our tongues. And then when we go home, things can be completely different. There's an old joke that I've heard many times that people will say, oh, we had the pastor for lunch. He came over for a roast. And what they're actually doing is they're roasting the pastor because around the dinner table on a Sunday, they criticize everything that has happened in the church. So the pastor's the one being roasted. And sadly, that does happen in many different places. And, you know, is that right? You know, our spiritual state is revealed by the way that we talk to our nearest and dearest in the privacy of our own homes. Do we use these opportunities to do the right thing and give thanks for the things that were good and the things that we've learnt about the Lord? Or do we use these opportunities to talk about how this person's irritated us or how that thing wasn't quite right? Which is honouring to the Lord? I'm sure at times all of us have fallen into that trap of talking in private about the things that we don't like. We have to remember that God sees all things, he hears all things, and he knows all things. The way we use our tongues is a barometer, a test of our spiritual health. So as Christians, we need to learn to use our tongues in a consistent way so that what we say matches what we believe, and what we say matches the things that we do. Each day in every situation, whether we're at home with our families or at work or with friends, the way we use our tongues makes an incredible difference. And the way that we use our tongues can be a real witness as well to other people. I once knew a student who he was going away from home, couldn't get into halls, so he had to arrange digs. And one of the things about arranging digs is that you end up living with complete strangers. And this Christian, he ended up living with a group of four or so people who weren't Christians at all. And when he moved into that place, the language was absolutely terrible. There was all sorts of swearing and blaspheming going on and things like that. And he didn't say anything, he just prayed about it. Within a month, someone in that house came and said, "We've had a little talk, and we've noticed that you don't swear, and you don't blaspheme, so we're not going to do that either." And for that student, it created all sorts of opportunities for him to have conversations with every person in that house during the 9 months that he lived there. How we use our language says a lot about where we are, what we're like. And the people of this world, they really do notice. One of the great testimonies about churches is that when people come in, they notice that there's no bad language, there's no swearing, there's no arguing. Completely different to going down to the pub. The way that we use our language is an incredible witness, which people may not even notice at all. So as Christians, we have that choice. Do we try and control our tongue, knowing that we're not going to be perfect, but if we could be 99%, that's pretty good, isn't it? Or do we just let our tongues run wild so that we only say the right thing 5% of the time? We need to be people who focus on using our tongues in the right way. And that means that we need to learn to say please and thank you. We need to learn to say, yes, I do forgive you. Because wise Christians, they do forgive. Learning to say that I love you. Learning to say that I will pray for you. Learning to say, please forgive me. And that's the key thing. We need to learn to say, please forgive me. To one another, but at the same time, to the Lord. Every time that we do something wrong. Every time we say something wrong. Because when we say something wrong, the Holy Spirit should click in straight away and correct you. So that when something unexpected does come out of your mouth, straight away you can go to the Lord and ask for that forgiveness. And we know this from Scripture. In those well-known words in 1 John 1, we read, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." James has reminded us that no one is perfect, that everyone makes mistakes and says the wrong thing sometimes. He has also reminded us that we worship a holy God and the tongue used for praising him should not be polluted by sin. But sadly, it is. So when it is, we'll go back to 1 John and he says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins." Did you get that? If you confess, if you take responsibility, if you admit that you're not perfect, then yes, the Lord is going to forgive you. Forgive you of saying the wrong thing in the wrong way at the wrong time. And this forgiveness is possible simply because of Jesus' completed work on the cross. When he was there hanging on that cross, he died and suffered for each and every sin. Whether that's a sin in our moral standings, whether it's a sin in the way that we use our possessions, or a sin in the way that we speak, or anything else for that matter at all. And if we confess our sins to him, then we can be forgiven.